Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. On October 10th, officials from the Mississippi Valley Conservancy will travel to Madison for a two-hour meeting to sort out funding issues raised in the past year by the City of La Crosse and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The government agencies have accused the nonprofit land conservation group of improperly spending tax dollars the city and state gave MVC over the last 10 years. The money was designed to protect the city's bluff lands. Attorneys for the city claim the MVC owes them more than $1.1 million combined. It's important to note, while the DNR and city have been looking at financial records for the past year, a final audit has not been made public. And the claims the DNR and city made earlier this month come from a press release and some information shared at a La Crosse City Council meeting. I spoke yesterday with MVC Executive Director Tim Jacobson, who disagrees with the conclusions made by the DNR and the city.
The draft report that's been issued does not itself support the allegations that were made to the media when this was announced. And that's been particularly frustrating because we've gone through this process over the course of an entire year of having this accounting firm scrutinize everything that we did over the course of an entire decade. And their conclusions do not match up with the public statements being made from the city.
Are you talking about the night of the city council meeting when these results were released? Attorney Phil Addis, who's been hired by the city, kind of put together a PowerPoint presentation and sort of laid out all these numbers. You're saying that those numbers don't match the numbers in the draft audit?
That's correct. There are very significant differences between what's in the draft report, which is not an audit, but rather a summary of compliance findings. But in any event, the numbers in that document do not match what was presented to the public. The biggest issue and the biggest discrepancy between the public statements that have been made and what's actually in the Bauman report particularly relates to the DNR figure. The night before the city council meeting, they cooked up an Exhibit C to a draft report which had a column of numbers in it that had never been shown previous to that. And in that column C, there was this figure of $518,000 relating to the DNR in this question cost column. But if you actually look in the body of the report, the Bauman firm themselves state under the question cost item of that report, indeterminable, period. There is no dollar amount that they raise in the body of the report saying that MVC owes anything to the DNR. The report, if someone actually looks at it, says that there are amounts that MVC used, city dollars that MVC used to make a series of purchases of land that they contend there was a technical omission on a particular line item in a very thick application form where they say, well, that dollar amount that was used to make those purchases wasn't written in on that particular line item. However, they say that just because of that, that does not mean that MVC owes anything to the DNR. I think it's very interesting that the DNR themselves have not said that they are owed anything. There was a news release issued on the afternoon that the city council met that said that there are questions raised about certain dollar amounts, but nowhere does the news release from the DNR say that any money is owed by MVC to the DNR, nor have there been any public statements from the DNR that I'm aware of that say that MVC owes any money to the DNR.
Yeah, in this DNR release, it says that they're raising questions about the $1.4 million, but they haven't released a statement otherwise saying that they would like that money back, or at least the portion, which the DNR's portion is about $519,000.
Yeah, I find it very interesting that after taking a year and spending something in the neighborhood of $70,000 on this, that they, to date, all they can say in a news release is that they have questions about certain costs. That news release does not say that money is owed, and that money is not owed. Furthermore, the presentation given to the city council was incredibly misleading and used numbers that are not supported by the report. In an executive summary that was prepared by the city's lawyers, they listed a sum of $245,000 of unexpended city funds and reached the conclusion that amount is owed to the city. That amount is not owed to the city, and the Baumann report confirms that money is not owed to the city. The Baumann report states that there is, in fact, this $245,000 figure, which we have said all along. It's been disclosed in our annual audit reports for several years, and we've been reporting to the city that we were holding unexpended funds. Having unexpended funds just means we haven't spent the money yet, and we had attempted to present a project to the city council last year in which we would have spent all that money to buy a piece of land, but unfortunately we were blocked from presenting the project.
Because of this audit, correct?
We were not given a reason. We tried to present this project a year ago in the springtime, in April or May, is when we tried to get formal approval for the project in 2011. There was no audit requested at that time. So as far as I know, it has nothing to do with that, but for whatever reason, people within City Hall decided they did not want to see this land conserved and blocked us from presenting the project, and therefore we didn't get to spend the money to make that purchase of land. The Baumann report directly contradicts the assertions that have been made to the City Council to the extent of at least $750,000 are directly contradicted by the city's own accounting report. And I find that very shocking that representatives of the city attorneys would make public statements that are directly contradicted by their own report after they've spent many tens of thousands of dollars to get this draft report.
If the information presented to the city council is different than what's in this report, where do you stand?
That's a good question, and that's what's so frustrating about this process is that the city council, unfortunately, has completely abdicated responsibility for understanding this information and digesting this. They've delegated this task to others, and we had requested the city council to appoint a committee of council members, the actual policymakers of the city, to sit down and to go over this information and to determine whether there are any issues between MBC and the city. And there were council members who spoke up in favor of that idea at the city council meeting and thought that that was a reasonable approach and that effort should be undertaken. And yet, after going behind closed doors, they came out and voted otherwise. They voted unanimously to not be involved in the process. And we've had a situation where the people who were making the decisions for this grant funding over the course of a decade, with both the DNR and the city, the people who actually made the decisions and handled these programs have been placed under gag orders and have not been allowed to speak to us or to sit down and to try to work through any issues. If there are issues, if there are misunderstandings, reasonable people sit down at the table and talk about that and try to understand. But there has been no effort by the DNR or the city to try to understand these issues and to try to reach a resolution of any issues that may exist. Instead, the people that have been trying to torpedo these conservation programs are the ones that have been appointed to supposedly negotiate over this issue. And basically, the fox has been put in charge of the hen house. The people who want the money, the conservation money for other purposes, are the ones that are being put in charge of determining how this situation should turn out.
The city council unanimously voted that MVC had breached its contract regarding the Bluff Land Protection Program. I mean, when they vote unanimously, it sends a message that they did find something that they weren't happy with. You know, it sends that message that there's something there.
I don't know what message it sends other than what happens behind closed doors is hard to determine. And I guess that's one of the things that's particularly troubling about this whole situation is that our elected representatives in the city, people who are supposed to be representing the people, have themselves told me on numerous occasions that they are gagged. They are not allowed to speak to me. They're prevented from ascertaining the facts for themselves, and instead they're being spoon-fed information from people who have gone on record as opposing this conservation program. And how elected officials can stand back, not allow themselves to gather information from their own constituents, and then make decisions behind closed doors is a very troubling development.
One of the other issues that was brought up that night is that 760 acres out of 900 acres under the Bluffland Protection Program have not been transferred to the city. What exactly is that about?
Under the first La Crosse-Bluffland Agreement, there was a provision in there that said that MBC, after taking ownership of the land, would eventually transfer the property to the city. There was no deadline for the transfer of those properties under the first contract. In 2008, a second contract was negotiated, and in there the city insisted on having a clause that said that we had to transfer properties within 2 years of acquiring them. And we did, in fact, begin transferring properties and transferred three significant parcels of land to the city, and we're continuing to work on additional transfers. However, there were several roadblocks that were thrown up in the way that prevented transfers from occurring. First of all, about half of the acreage was under a seller restriction where we had to accept a condition that we were not allowed to transfer the property for 5 years because the seller didn't want us to transfer the land to the city within that five-year period. The city knew about that condition, and they agreed to it before we purchased that land, which, again, was about half of the total acreage in issue. And once that five-year period was up, the DNR, which has a veto over any transfer of ownership on properties where city or where DNR funds were used, they prevented us from making the transfers. First of all, an issue arose over bicycle usage on trails on certain parcels of land, and the DNR insisted that until we had reached a global resolution of where bikes could and could not go on these properties, they would not authorize any transfers to the city. It took something in the neighborhood of 2 years to work with the city and the DNR to reach a resolution and a common understanding of how bicycle use would occur. And then in the meantime, the DNR imposed another new requirement, said, oh, by the way, we're not going to allow you to transfer the land to the city unless you get approval from the neighboring townships where much of the land is located, the towns of Shelby and Madary. Well, our board president, George Kirchhoff, and I appeared before the boards of Shelby and Madary and asked them to authorize the transfers of the lands, and they turned us down. They have expressed that they see this as an annexation threat to their townships, and were not interested in approving the transfers. It wasn't until last summer that we finally, the DNR, partially backed down from that position on town approval and said that they weren't going to require town approval for certain transfers occurring before a certain date. So they narrowed the issues in terms of getting town approval. By the time we got that clarification from the DNR and they changed their position yet again, then we got into this whole audit situation. And so one thing after another has tied our hands from transferring the properties. MBC is not interested in retaining ownership of these properties indefinitely. It has been our intent all along to transfer the properties to the city. We'll be happy to do that, but it isn't just up to us. It's up to the DNR, and the DNR has repeatedly changed the conditions under which we can make those transfers.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. My guest today is Tim Jacobson. He's the executive director of Mississippi Valley Conservancy, and we're talking about the recent audit of the Bluffland Protection Program. What exactly is it that the city is accusing MVC of doing?
Clearly, there are disagreements that have arisen over the Bluffland agreements, the Bluffland contracts.
And they talk about, or at that city council meeting, they talked about inconsistencies within contracts versus emails, and they brought up staffing charges, property tax charges, uncompleted transactions, which is probably what you were just talking about before. But
again, a major part of the problem is that the people that we have been dealing with on this issue are not the people that were administering the program at the time that most of these purchases of land were made. And the people who were administering the program have been placed under gag orders.
City officials, you mean?
City officials have been placed under gag orders. Same with DNR staff, people that we worked with on a regular basis for having grants processed, have not been allowed to speak to us for the past year, basically. And so it's really hard to get down to having reasonable discussions about things when the people who actually have the facts are gagged and not allowed to speak to the media or to us. You have not once heard in any media reports or elsewhere the positions of the people who were actually administering these programs.
We've reached out to many city officials and were told that we would not be able to talk with them. We could only talk with Phil Addis or Stefan Matty, the city attorney, and both declined coming on this program today.
I mean, don't you find it troubling that elected officials and people who are administering these grant programs over the course of many years are not allowed to explain how the program functioned, and only lawyers are allowed to speak? I find that very troubling, and the information that's been presented publicly is contradicted by their own accounting report, and the numbers just and the allegations don't make sense. Now, there are disputes over contract language based upon interpretations of that contract language made by people who have gone on record opposing MVC spending money to buy Bluffland properties. And, you know, the fact that some people want to come in and reinterpret contracts after they've already been completed, I don't think carries any weight. But that is the official position that the city has taken. Given their position, there are disagreements over what types of costs could be covered under the program. In every instance where we purchase land, we end up incurring some real estate taxes. Eventually, we're able to get an exemption in most cases for the property we purchase, but there's some real estate taxes that are incurred initially because we can't even apply until the following year for a tax exemption on the property. And so therefore, you know, we're going to incur some expenses. Now the city's taking the position that if it didn't show up on the closing statement, it's not something that we were entitled to cover under the Bluffland agreement. But the agreement itself, the contract language that actually applies, says that we're able to cover normal and routine costs of purchase.
Which include taxes, in your mind?
Which would include real estate taxes because those are incurred in every single purchase of land. Whether there's been allegations, well, we should transfer the land to the city sooner and that would have made a difference. Well, it wouldn't have made a difference that I'm aware of in any of these transactions because we're an exempt entity and we're able to apply for the tax exemption, but you're still always going to incur some real estate taxes. There was money applied to personnel and operating expenses related to carrying out this program over the course of a decade. We disclosed to the city years ago our intent to do that, and now they're saying years later, oh, well, we don't think that's a normal and routine cost to purchase. It's almost implied in these allegations that MVC was like some beggar holding out her hand for money and that the city and DNR were so benevolent in providing funding for this conservation program. The reality was that the city and the DNR came to us and said, we have program objectives. We want to see these bluffs protected. We think you, Mississippi Valley Conservancy, is in a good position to do that. And we want you to carry out our objectives, and we will provide funding to cover various types of expenses. And we worked our tails off over the course of a decade to acquire nearly 1,000 acres of land. We could have used that same amount of time working in more rural areas where you have less complicated title issues, where the property is much less expensive when you're not right next to the city, and could have protected probably significantly more acreage for the same amount of effort and money. But we chose to work with these entities to protect these beautiful scenic bluffs above the city, and we helped them achieve their goals. And now, after we've accomplished that and had a program that was so successful. It's been recognized around the state and around the country as being a very visionary program. There are people who, I don't know, have decided that they would rather spend the money on other things, and they've chosen to try to take back money that we spent on the Bluffs. And unfortunately, I feel like it puts our beautiful Bluffs in jeopardy. I mean, it seems like there's a that it's almost like the DNR and the city have opened up a realty company and that the Bluffs are for sale now.
The city council decided that MVC has until October 23rd to conclude negotiations with the city and with the DNR. And negotiations include La Crosse Parks and Recreation Director Steve Caroline, Finance Director Wayne Delagrave, and City Attorney Stephen Maddie. Have you at all begun discussions with them? If not, I mean, do you have any sense of when those will begin occurring?
We have a meeting scheduled in Madison for October 10th to meet with city officials and DNR officials.
That would give you 13 days then.
Yes. They've given us a two-hour time slot. We're driving down to Madison October 10th. They've allotted us 2 hours to meet and negotiate these issues, and they scheduled the meeting for a day before the city council meeting. We gave the city and the DNR 12 dates that our team was available to meet between now and October 23rd. And of those 12 dates, we've been given 1 2-hour time slot to talk about this. That's another thing I find very troubling is there really any intent on the part of the city and the DNR to negotiate in good faith and to try to resolve any issues? How can you deal with 10 years' worth of land transactions and the scope of the allegations that have been raised when they've given us 2 hours to do that? We've since sent a letter to the city and DNR suggesting that we provide for more days schedule in advance for follow-up meetings should that be necessary. And we've also asked them to express what exactly are they asking for. As I've stated before, contrary to headlines that have come out in the media, the DNR has not said that one penny is owed to them. They've just said that there are some items they have questions about. And so how can we go into a negotiation when the DNR hasn't even specified what it is they think MVC owes, if anything? I was on the phone just days ago with the auditors from the Bowman firm, and just a couple – they're still working on issuing a fifth draft of their report. And as of a couple days ago, they still can't tell me whether there's anything that MVC did that requires us to pay a single penny back to the DNR. Their report, their draft report in its latest form and earlier forms, says that issue is indeterminable. So here they are. They've had 6 months since they started going through all of our records in the office. They've been provided with a $50,000 contract. And they can't give us an answer one way or another as to whether they think we owe anything to the DNR.
What do you hope happens by October 23rd?
The way that the DNR and city have structured this 1 2-hour meeting over the course of having a month to talk about this seems to be they seem to have designed this for failure, designed any attempts at trying to work things out or to resolve questions. It seems to be specifically designed to fail, and I find that very troubling.
What do you mean designed to fail?
How can they expect that in this two-hour time slot when they haven't even stated what their position is, do they think that we're going to be able to have a productive discussion?
Although we don't know what the outcome is going to be, we don't know if the DNR is going to request money. It sounds like the city is trying to get some money back. I mean, are you prepared to take this matter to court?
We do want to have productive negotiations or discussions with the city and DNR to find out if they still have questions or concerns about things, to discuss the various interpretations of the Bluffland Agreement, and to try to reach an amicable resolution such that we can go forward in a productive fashion. Because we still have important Blufflands and natural resources that are at risk. And we think that this is something that the citizens of La Crosse have expressed that they want to see done. They want to see our bluffs protected. They value these natural resources. And we need to be serious about how we can move forward in the future, not simply look back, but also look forward. And so that is our goal. But, you know, if we're going to be set up for a predetermined conclusion and a failed negotiation process because they've given us 2 hours over the course of an entire month to talk, and they continue to leave gag orders on elected officials and other people who administered these grant programs, it just seems unlikely that we're going to be able to have a productive discussion.
Tim Jacobson is executive director of Mississippi Valley Conservancy. The La Crosse-based land conservation nonprofit is accused of owing more than $1.1 million to the city of La Crosse and Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. While the government agencies have been investigating MVC's finances for the past year, a final audit has not been made public. Repeated attempts to interview city officials for the show, including contracted attorney Phil Addis, city attorney Stephen Matty, and parks director Steve Caroline, have been declined. We also contacted DNR secretary Kathy Stepp. She declined an interview because of the potential for litigation. A DNR spokesperson says the agency hopes to work issues out with the MVC. State Representative Jill Billings also declined a request for an interview. Earlier this week, Wisconsin DNR Stewardship Advisory Council Chair Sean Graff sent a letter to DNR Secretary Kathy Stepp. In the letter, Graff says there's nothing in the auditor's draft report that shows a misuse of public funds, but that there may be some technicalities and contract disputes. Coming up next, the La Crosse School District is asking voters to approve building a new Northside Elementary School. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.